You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
Yes, indeed. A very good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to Thursday. It is the second day in the month of March. Great to be with you this morning. Time-wise, we're just making our way to 1 minute after the hour of 7 o'clock. And I'm going to be sitting here entertaining you, or being well, until 10 o'clock this morning. Looking at a couple of birthdays relevant to today's date, that is the 2nd of March. We're going to start off with Joel Roberts Poinsett. He was born on this day. The year was 1779. He was a physician, a botanist, and American statesman. And guess what? The poinsettia, a popular Christmas flower, is named after him. And Carl Jacobsen, this one's an important one, was born on this day in 1842. He was a Danish brewer, the son of J.C. Jacobsen, who founded the brewery Carlsberg. And again, named it after him. That's it for this morning.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos dias en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
And there go the Stranglers there, and Always the Sun. And I can tell you that, I'm happy to say, it is always here. And it's shining through our window right now. I just went to get a glass of water, and I could see an awful lot of dust on top of the water holder thingy. Anyway, time on The Breakfast Show, 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock here on The Breakfast Show. It is a Thursday. I'm happy to tell you that currently Dr. Computer is going to be able to join us later on this morning, and plenty of great music as well going right through till 10. We'll check in with Ingrid and also with Yasmin, see how it all went yesterday. What you got lined up for today?
Jerry D.
You've got to laugh, haven't you? I don't know about shower time. I had to quickly run back from the bathroom. I was taking the good lady a cup of coffee. In the shower with you this morning, what have we got? Sorry about that. Calling the game. We're going to have a bit of a celebration, I think. There we go, in the shower this morning, that is Celebration. Now, it says Celebration called in the gang, but I know my voices. I would have said that that was a cover by Lulu. I don't know. I just tried to have my little Shazam app out here, and I thought, oh, let me see, because that definitely sounds like Lulu. And it didn't find a match at all, and neither did it on the other thing, SoundHound. So, interesting. I'm going to dig into a little bit further, because that did sound like Lulu. But it says call in a gang. Perhaps they all got together and had a party. Absolutely, why not? Great to be here. It is Thursday morning. It's 20 minutes right now. That's after the hour of 7 o'clock here on The Breakfast Show. Bottom of the hour, don't forget, we are going to take a look at some of the international news and some business headlines for this Thursday morning. Mr. Dave Edmonds and I Hear You Knocking. Getting back to Celebration for a moment. I'm just sort of looking at some information about it. When I first looked at it, it did say, I don't find any reference to it actually in the write-up here, but it says Celebration, it, you know, big hit obviously for Kool & the Gang, got to number one for them sometimes. Now, there's no reference there, but when I looked up Celebration 1980, it says by Kool & the Gang, also covered by Kylie Minogue. So perhaps that was it. Perhaps it wasn't. So I know my voice is. It wasn't Lulu. Perhaps it was Kylie Minogue. Anyway, interesting little story. Kept me occupied. Time on The Breakfast Show. We are just coming to 24 minutes after 7 o'clock. Today, Dr. Computer, all being well, he's going to be with us in the 8 o'clock hour today. So we'll be talking a little bit about technology, which is always good fun. Continuing with some of that great music, the Doobie Brothers. Listen to the music.
Wait a minute. The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
In the night, there are sights to be seen. Stars like jewels on the crown of a queen. But the only sign I want of you is that wonderful picture of you. On a streetcar or in the cafe. Summer, I fell in love. My heart told me what to do. I saw you then on the crest of a hill, and I took a little picture of you. Then you were gone like a dream in the night. With you in my heart, my love, and my life.
That is the Joe Brown and the brothers there, and a picture of you. Time on the Breakfast Show. We're just a few seconds away from 7:30 the hour of 7 o'clock here on this morning's show.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
I tell you what, if you're just about to go off on a summer vacation driving through this wonderful country, well, make sure your car's up to speed, all right? The last thing you want to hear is this. So if you're going on a road, first of all, get your car checked out. Where? Valley Motors over in Clayton, the place where they have a passion for cars, for your car. So don't forget, this vacation, that nothing leaves you stuck on the road. Go along, City of Knowledge, Valley Motors, make your appointment now. Just drop them a WhatsApp at 64310419. The best vacations begin with your car.
Valley Motors.
Have you ever seen Panama from a castle in the mountains of Chicá? Take a deep breath and relax at El Castillo de Kevin, just 1 hour and 40 minutes from the city. You can sleep over or just stay during the day. Enjoy the swimming pool, at the barbecue, with the whole family or friends. Just call 6579-4281. That's 6579-4281 to make your reservation. You'll be surprised.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
And it is time for us to take a look at some of the international news headlines and some business roundup, basically, towards the end. Now, time-wise, we're just coming up to 28 minutes, and that's before the hour of 8 o'clock. Ukrainian forces hung on to positions in the ruined eastern city of Bakhmut on Thursday, while Moscow said its security forces were battling Ukrainian saboteurs who had taken hostages in a cross-border raid. Moscow said a group of armed Ukrainians had crossed into Russia's Bryansk province fired on a car, killing a civilian, and were holding hostages in a shop near the border. The United States is sounding out close allies about the possibility of imposing new sanctions on China if Beijing provides military support to Russia for its war in Ukraine, according to four U.S. officials and other sources. The consultations, which are still at a preliminary stage, are intended to drum up support from a range of countries, especially those in the wealthy group of seven, to coordinate support for any possible restrictions. A North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, ordered improvements to infrastructure and expansion of farmland to ramp up food production, state media said on Thursday. This was amid warnings of an impending food crisis. Kim gave instructions to revamp irrigation systems, build modern farming machines, and create more arable land as he wrapped up the seventh enlarged plenary meeting of the ruling Workers' Party's powerful Central Committee on Wednesday. The United States have approved the potential sale of $619 million in new weapons to Taiwan, including missiles for its F-16 fleet, as the island reported a second day of large-scale Chinese Air Force incursions nearby. The arms sales are likely to further sour already tense ties between Washington and Beijing, which has repeatedly demanded such deals stop, viewing them as unwarranted support for democratically governed Taiwan, an island China claims as its own territory. Rescuers comb through charred and buckled rail carriages for more victims of Greece's deadly East Air train crash on Thursday, a disaster that killed at least now 46 people and has led to a national outpouring of grief and of anger. The high-speed passenger train with more than 350 people on board smashed head-on into a freight train near the city of Larissa late on Tuesday. Carriages were thrown off the tracks, with two entirely crushed and several engulfed in flames. Elon Musk's rocket company SpaceX launched a four-man crew to orbit, and this is en route to the International Space Station early on Thursday, with a Russian cosmonaut and United Arab Emirates astronaut joining two NASA crewmates for the flight. The SpaceX launch vehicle, consisting of a Falcon 9 rocket topped with an autonomously operated Crew Dragon capsule called Endeavour, lifted off at 12:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral. Prince Harry and his wife Meghan have been asked to vacate Frogmore Cottage, the house within the grounds of Britain's of King Charles's Windsor Castle estate. They use it only really when they're in Britain, the spokesman for the couple said on Wednesday. Well, earlier the Sun newspaper reported the house had been offered by the monarch to his brother, Prince Andrew. Charles's decision comes in the wake of the couple's damning revelations about Harry's father, his elder brother Prince William, and other royals in his recent memoir, a Netflix documentary and a series of TV interviews, the tabloid has said. Now, world stocks, they spluttered away on Thursday, pressured by a pullback in Chinese stocks and higher US yield amid fears that the Federal Reserve and European Central Bank will keep raising interest rates to combat high inflation. European shares dropped to a one-month low as stickier-than-expected Eurozone inflation numbers justified what is widely expected to be another 50 basis points hike in the European Central Bank's already decade-high rates this month. MSCI's broadest index of world shares dipped 0.2%, hovering near seven-week lows. The Stock 600 index slid 0.3%, and Wall Street's S&P futures were down 0.6%. Nasdaq futures were off 0.7%, hit by a 5.5% drop in Tesla shares in after-hours trading. The company said that it will cut vehicle assembly costs by half in future generations of cars, but Chief Executive Elon Musk did not unveil a much-awaited small, affordable electric vehicle. Oil edged higher on Thursday, though gains made on signs of a stronger economic rebound in top crude importer China were kept in check by fears over the impact of potential increases to European interest rates. Brent crude futures that rose 43 cents or 0.51% to $84.74 a barrel by 10:17 GMT today, and US West Texas Intermediate WTI crude futures were up 45 cents or 0.58% at $78.14. And there we go. That's it. Some of the things in the world news, and say a roundup there of some of the items in the world of business. Right, back to the music with Lisa Stansfield. Lisa Stansfield from up north, the north of England there, with Never Ever. And this lady, her name is Alexandra Burke, and this is called You Broke My Heart. And after this, it's time to say a few good mornings.
I was waiting for
there we go, yes. Alexandra Burke, I like that one. You broke my heart. I like most of what I play, really. I guess that's why I do it. 15 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show. And I tell you what, let's go and say a couple of good mornings. Starting off with always first off the mark in the mornings is Mary Lou. Good morning to you, Mary Lou. And she wishes everybody a great day. Paul Dixon was also bright and breezy. In fact, before as soon as I got in the studio, there's a message from Paul. He sent me this video of some guy using one of these, you know, it's like a diet, you know, when you've abseiled up with the parachute thing, but the guy's got a motor on his back and he's flying all around the high buildings of Panama. It just looks absolutely scary to me. But thanks for that. I enjoyed watching that, Paul. And also say good morning to Maria. Also, let's say good morning. Let's go to Athens in Greece and say a very good morning to Renee over there, Renee and Rick. Happy Thursday and a good morning to everybody. Over yonder, I'm roasting red peppers and onions for... Oh, she's doing it in the air fryer. That's good. For a roasted red pepper soup. Please play the Smashing Pumpkins. I'll have to dig that one out for you. I did look, it's not on my list, but I'll go and find it. I'll see if I can do that for you a little bit later on. In the meantime, Ashley, good morning to you. He says, good morning, Jerry, Jasmine, all your faithful listeners worldwide. Have a great Thursday. Listen to this magnificent cover, he said. It's Rashid Taha, and it's his version of Rock the Casbah.
وقت الطيارات وطرق البومبات على الناس المجرمين من نكرو كان السلطات طلعوا في الطيارات وبالعيد سمعوا
There you go. That's Rashid Taha, and tell you what, Rock the Casbah. If anybody's got a right to sing it like that, he has. I love it. It's brilliant. I think I like it because it's more oriental, like the Casbah itself. Rashid Taha is sadly no longer with us. He was an Algerian singer and activist, based in France, and described as sonically adventurous. And his music was influenced by many different styles, including rock, electronic, punk and riot. So there we go. He was born in the Algerian Sico city of Oran. And so that's it. There we go. And say he passed away, I think it was 1958, if I remember. If I remember right, I was looking it up here. Yeah, there we go. He died. Gosh, that was recently. He was born in 58, died in 2018, just 59 years of age. Right now, let's go back to Rene, because I rummaged around and I found I did have it in my music collection, just how you ask it. It's like any of these things. If you don't ask it in a specific way, it won't give you anything. Anyway, I asked it again nicely, and it found Smashing Pumpkins in 1979.
Street.
There we go, yes, I found it for you today. Smashing Pumpkins, 1979. And Mary Lou, she's come back to us. Good morning. She's come in and she has said, good day to everybody. And she liked that one, by the way. Rock the Casbah was rather good, wasn't it? Thank you for that one, Ashley. Good suggestion. And Mary Lou asked if we could play a piece of music from her. It's called Just What I Needed, and it's from The Cars. What I Needed from The Cars for Mary Lou this morning. And, well, ideally, that has brought us right up to the top of the hour.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio. Cool FM.
Time on this morning's breakfast show, we're 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. Still to come, we're going to be checking in with Ingrid in a little while, and also we've got Dr. Computer with us, so we're going to be talking tech during the course of the next hour. So, 89.3, Cool FM. Have you ever seen Panama from a castle in the mountains of Chicago? Take a deep breath and relax at El Castillo de Kevin, just 1 hour and 40 minutes from the city. You can sleep over or just stay during the day. Enjoy the swimming pool at the barbecue with the whole family or friends. Just call 6579-4281. That's 6579-4281. 4281 to make your reservation. You'll be surprised.
We're all going on a summer holiday.
I tell you what, if you're just about to go off on a summer vacation driving through this wonderful country, well, make sure your car's up to speed, all right? The last thing you want to hear is this. So if you're going on a road, first of all, get your car checked out. Where? Valley Motors over in Clayton, the place where they have a passion for cars, for your car. So don't forget, this vacation, that nothing leaves you stuck on the road. Go along, City of Knowledge, Valley Motors. Make your appointment now. Just drop them a WhatsApp at 6431 0419. The best vacations begin with your car.
Valley Motors.
Yes, it's back. The biggest little festival in the world. The Bocchetti Jazz and Blues Festival is going to be on March the 17th to the 19th, so make a point of not missing it. A great artist, what a lineup this year. Mr. Sip, Alberto Castiglia, and JP Saul's Lance Anderson, Genius and Soul, just to mention a few. So put that in your diary, all right? Bocchetti Jazz and Blues Festival, March the 17th to the 19th. The biggest little festival in the world is back. For more information on the lineup and how to get tickets, go along to the Bocchetti Jazz and Blues Festival.com. All the information you could ever need is right there.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's still got a little bit to go there, but that is George Thorogood and the Destroyers and Delaware Slide. On The Breakfast Show, we're looking at the time. We are 19 minutes right now, and that is after the hour of 8 o'clock. So let's see if Ingrid's around, shall we?
Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, yes, how you doing? Well, what is today? Today's Thursday. Oh, my goodness. The week is flying by. I'm so glad to have the cook home. She made coffee this morning, and there's nothing better than having somebody make you a big old cup of joe. Mm-mm-mm. So I'm sitting out on my pseudo-semi-front porch new kind of thingy. I don't know yet what to call it. All I know is I'm sitting in the front yard on my nice seats just outside of the door that the cook designed, and I'm looking at these big, beautiful plants. I think they're called ginger plants. And we got some coconuts up there on the tree. You know, I don't even know if those are edible or not. I mean, I've seen one or two of them drop, and I saw Chelsea the other day running around with a coconut in her mouth. She was having fun playing with it. And there's a papaya tree over there, and there's banana trees everywhere. I can't tell anymore if they're banana or if they're plantains. They call them chumba plantains. They're the short, fatty kind of plantains, but boy, they're good. And we have a cinnamon tree in the front. Not your typical cinnamon tree that you cut the bark off. This one, you have leaves, and you cut the leaves off, and you crunch them up, and you put them in tea, and it tastes like cinnamon tea. It's amazing. And there's a couple of Norfolk pines out there that I don't think are in a good location. I think I might have to move some of them. I think that's, I don't know what that one's called, but it's got a lot of pretty flowers. It looks like Pinocchio nose. It's sticking out of this flower. I'd call it something else, but we're on the radio, and I don't think Jerry'd like me to call it that name. You know what I mean. Okay, we're not going to go there. So today's a busy day. Well, they're going to come, some of the builders, and fix and tweak a few things that didn't get done because the cook had a punch list that she had to get done. And truly, Nolan has to come because we got to make sure we don't have bugs. With all this construction, you know, you stir things up and things come out from anywhere and everywhere. What else is, oh, the gardener comes. Let's see what else. The electrician comes, and the plumber comes. It's going to be a busy Thursday. Woohoo! I'm so excited. We're going to get things done. So, this is Thursday. That means tomorrow is Freaky Friday. Fun facts. Woohoo! I got to dig some good stuff up tonight. Do my research and be ready for y'all tomorrow. Until then, back to you in the studio.
Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds? Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? It sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? It sounds. People gonna rise up, get their share. Who are people gonna rise up and take what's there? Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying to those observers, armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds. And finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution.
There we go. That's Tracy Chapman and talking about a revolution. Time on The Breakfast Show. We are 24 minutes, and that is after the hour of 8 o'clock here on 89.3 Cool FM. It's Thursday, and he's able to spend some time with us this morning. So a very good morning to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman.
Good morning, Jerry.
I always wonder now when you come in if that mic's going to work. Because you're the only person it stopped working for, you know.
Yeah, it probably knows something.
It probably does, yeah. You were, as you were saying, because we were listening to Tracy Chapman then, you were telling me about how before she became famous, all her songs were miserable and...
melancholy.
Melancholy. Never eat melons and cauliflower at the same time.
No.
It will make you sad.
Yes.
But when she was successful, all her songs became quite joyful.
And cool. Upbeat.
Yes. Of course it does. Even I'm in a good mood when we make money.
Oh, definitely.
You know, that doesn't happen very often.
No.
No, but... how's your week been?
It's been very busy. Fortunately, a lot of work, you know, on a lot of stuff that has to do with security and mm-hmm. privacy and mm-hmm. things like that. Also, very, very moving. It's been a very interesting week because of Mobile World Congress, which, you know, that's in my bucket list, one of those events that I would really love to attend at one point. And right after CES, I think it's the best show on earth regarding everything that has to do with technology. Mobile mm-hmm. World Congress mm-hmm. is oriented towards things that have to do with the mobile networks. That includes phones and antennas and the networks that, mm-hmm. you know, put everything together. And you get a lot of stuff that's really interesting. I mean, Mobile World Congress has been one of the venues where you usually see things first, like foldable phones, which are mm-hmm. now becoming more and more mainstream. And the next best thing right now appears to be rollable devices. By rollable, I mean like, you know how you can unroll a scroll?
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. imagine a laptop where you have like the standard laptop that looks tiny or whatever. And then you press a switch and then the screen starts unrolling and becoming bigger like a full page display.
Mm-hmm.
And then you press the button and it goes back to its original size. All this... is being powered by OLED screens, which you can make flexible and
mm-hmm,
so on.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having a foldable device, you get something that can extend and retract depending on what kind of work you're doing. Well, you don't have to imagine anymore. The guys at Lenovo came out with this laptop that does this. I also saw a phone by Motorola that unrolls itself to become longer or shorter depending on the application that you're using. So it's also... something interesting. These phones are not going to be making it to store shelves this year necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but they show where the technology is going. Kind of like those rollable TVs that LG came out with 1 or 2 years ago. They didn't quite make it into mainstream.
They weren't really very successful.
Unfortunately, no. I mean, it happens that a lot of mistakes get to be made before we settle on what the technology is going to look like. And we've seen that over the years, we've talked about a lot of technologies here. Like, I don't know if you remember, one of the first things that I think I showed here on the show was one of the LG 3D phones, which you could see 3D images without glasses.
Oh, right.
Kind of okay. like those greeting cards that mm-hmm. you turn over from one side to the other to see the 3D effect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't take. And 3D TVs didn't take either.
No.
But... 4K and 8K, that's going mainstream now. So, I mean, for example, I got to get my hands on the Samsung S22 and S23 Ultra,
mm-hmm.
which does 8K video, which is interesting.
Well, it's got a really good camera. Quickly, because, mm-hmm. I bought the DJI Osmo Pocket 2,
yeah.
which will do 4K mm-hmm. video. But one thing I didn't realize when they said this, well, it's okay, but unless your TV's 4K, you don't get 4K video.
That is correct.
So how many people have an 8K TV?
Not very many right now. I mean, I still remember when 8K was in a prototype stage like 3 or 4 years ago. But there are 8K TVs that you can buy right now. And then the next question is, where do you get 8K video? You don't. Not right now. But eventually it will come. Like it happened with 4K. Right now, 4K is pretty much the standard
on
every TV that's 30 inches or bigger, because it doesn't make much sense to...
How do you know if your TV is 4K capable?
They usually will say it somewhere in the settings or whatever, mm-hmm. Or if you try and set up something like a video game console or a Roku stick or an Amazon Fire stick or anything, if you try the 4K and it doesn't show any information, then you don't have 4K.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can also look up your phone, your TV's model number on the internet and look at what the specs are. That being said, 4K is pretty much ubiquitous right now. What people are looking for is better color space and contrast. And
mm-hmm.
you look at that if the TV supports different HDR standards.
Mm-hmm.
As a photographer, you know about like bracketing and multiple exposure or mm-hmm. whatever. It makes it so that the picture can be taken and you can get more information out of both the bright parts of an image and the dark parts of an image. And with traditional 4K monitors like LCDs and LEDs and so on, when you have a really dark scene and then somebody, for example, opens a door and there's like light coming in shining mm-hmm. from the door, you get this bleed-through effect and the whole thing looks like soup. Or if you're watching something like Game of Thrones, some of the last episodes in the series where some battles take place at night, spoiler alert, but it's years old already, you get this kind of pixel soup because it doesn't
And you get a haze sort of. That's one of the things I love about, you know, we've had this TV a good few years now, but it was a very good offer at the time, and it's got the OLED screen, and what I love about the OLED is black is black.
Yes, and that is because OLED screens have individual lighting for mm-hmm. every single pixel.
How the hell do they do that?
They make them really small.
I know. I mean, just, you know, how many do you think you've got? Say, I mean, I got a 55-inch OLED. How many pixels are on there, for heaven's sake?
It doesn't really matter what the size is of the TV.
Well, I've heard that before.
Because every single pixel is lit, no matter if it's a 55-inch or an 80-inch, it's the same amount of pixels. It's just that the bigger screen lets you see it from further away with the same amount of detail. So there's even equations that you can look up on the internet to see what the ideal size for your TV, for your bedroom or living room or whatever is. So the thing is, every single pixel is lit so that when it's off, it's actually off. So there's no bleed through. Now, the problem with OLED is twofold. The first is it's expensive. Until economies of scale make them less expensive, mm-hmm. it's always going to be the most expensive option. What other options are there? I, for example, have a QLED or QLED or quantum dot LED, and those use different types of lighting and masking using a lot of individual lighting areas so that the bleed-through effect is minimized.
Mm-hmm.
It's not completely gone, but some TVs, you can put them right next to OLED screens, and you will struggle to see the difference. It's not going to be obvious, especially if your room isn't lit too, you know, brightly. The other disadvantage to OLED is that the O in OLED stands for organic, and those organic elements can break down with ultraviolet radiation. So if you have an OLED TV, it's really important not to have it get hit by the sun light directly because they will degrade a lot faster. They're built to last years and years, but if you have a couple of hours of sunlight hitting the screen every single day, it's going to degrade a lot faster.
But how on earth do they instruct each of these pixels to do something?
It's called an image processor, and we've mentioned some of them in the past when talking about TVs here on the show. The image processor is basically an entire computer dedicated to telling all of these pixels when and how much and for how long to turn on and off billions of times per second. And they do this in a way to maximize your enjoyment of the television. Or, in some cases, if you're watching, like, old content, I've been watching a lot of, old shows and whatever, they will create what's called an upscale process, where if you try to look at an old video, like from like the 90s or whatever, at standard resolution, everything will have this kind of staircase or stair step effect on the borders and diagonals because there's not enough information. What this will do is interpolate what the pixel might be or might have looked like if it had actually been recorded at that resolution. That's one way to fix it. The other way, and this is something that not everyone enjoys, is called frame interpolation, where something was maybe filmed at 24 frames per second or 30 frames per second, like a movie or a TV show, and it interpolates it so that it shows 120 frames per second or 240 frames per second, making for a much smoother motion, which is good for some kinds of content, but it really feels weird for some other content. And it feels weird because of, I don't know if you've, I think we've talked about this effect as well here in the show, called the uncanny valley. When something is almost realistic enough to look like the real thing, our brains kind of go into this tizzy and say, this is weird, I don't want to look at this. It happens with some animation features when they are really close to realistic but not close enough. So some people turn that off in order to avoid that. Or some people will actually get, like, motion sickness or whatever. And that's why a lot of TVs in the past couple of years, if you look at the image settings, there is one mode called filmmaker mode. What filmmaker mode does is it turns off all of the image enhancements so that you can enjoy the content exactly as is, so that it will convey the emotions or whatever that the original content creator intended, the filmmaker in this case. And that will be better for especially movies, because we are all used, at least people a certain age, are used to motion blur. When something moves too fast for the camera, it kind of blurs. In fact, they usually have to
do it specifically. I mean, this is because, as I said, I'm being a photographer rather than a videographer, and I decided to go for the Osmo Pocket 2, and I'm starting to learn a lot more about, and exactly what you said, 24 frames per second is the norm, for exactly that reason, is you don't get a false view, because as humans, we have image blur, and that's why they say 24 frames per second cinematically is the best, even 4K. And then if you're going to do, if you're going to post a production, say you want to do slow motion, you don't have to use the slow mo on the camera, but you do it at 60 frames per second, and then you slow it down, and you don't get the bad image because of that particular blur. It's really quite fascinating. I mean, I'm learning sort of quite a bit about video photography rather than, it's a bit complicated at times.
A little bit, even more so than photography, because it's photography, but 24 times a second harder.
At least.
So yeah, that's some of the stuff. 8K video. We were talking about 8K video. This phone can do 8K video, and you would think, okay, but what do I do with 8K video if it's hard to get an 8K display and computers might have a little bit of a hard time working with something that's four times more, heavier than 4K and 16 times heavier than full high definition. Well, the thing is, you can always record a lot more than you need in your field of view and then zoom in on whatever you need, and you'll still have
lots of image. Yeah.
Exactly. So you've probably done the same with photography when you get like a bigger plate or a bigger sensor, and then you just crop in whatever you need, and you make sure you use that better part of the center of the sensor that will get all of that information. Also, when you take pictures, this thing can do 100x zoom, and the great thing about it is I actually took a picture of the moon with this thing. And
who's
what?
Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Normally you find them on the back of a bus.
Exactly. Exactly. No, the one in the sky. And it's basically like having a telescope in your hands, which can be dangerous if it's the wrong hands, definitely. But one of the great things about the camera sensor on this S23 Ultra from Samsung is that
I hope they're paying you for this.
No, unfortunately, no. I don't know. But the thing is, even though the sensor is 100 megapixels, you know, you can take 100 megapixels photographs, but the great thing is you can always take them smaller, like 12 or 50 or whatever, and then make the sensor pick the best pixels out of every shot so that you get a much better quality picture that doesn't take up that much space. So I went on a little walked for a couple of hours in Casco Viejo and in the park and whatever, took a lot of pictures. And even though most of these phones, characteristics increase very slightly incrementally over time, I find that this particular camera has really impressed me, which hasn't happened in a long time. So I was really quite positively impressed with that phone. And I think that's kind of where the industry is going, to get better pictures, better video, better everything out of that little computer that we all carry in our pockets.
I mean, I'm agreeing. You showed me it. It's a lovely... I mean, I've been a Samsung person all the time up until recently.
Yeah.
And I bought my $300 Xiaomi phone, which has a 108-megapixel camera if I want to use it, which is not standard, but you can... And I've tried it. When I was a particular picture that I want, that I'm probably going to want to blow up, I would take it with the 108-megapixel pixel camera. And, you know, but we're getting all this now because so much of it is down to, for instance, it's got one of the things at the back and it says artificial intelligence. And that is where the work is done now, isn't it? Not so much with the lens. The lens, you know, if you've got a bad lens, you're going to get a bad picture. But so much of it is done now with processing. And sometimes with the Xiaomi, you can actually see it. You finish the photograph, it'll be blurred for a couple of seconds, and then bang, it'll come up.
Yeah, because they use an image processor, just like the one we talked about on the TV, to actually pick the better pixels and show you that. And it's interesting because, for example, I've also got the Honor X7. This is a mid-range phone, under $200. And it also, when you take pictures, it also has an AI icon there that if you turn it on, it's funny because it will bring out the color, the contrast, and it will... understand if you're taking a picture of a pet or some food or a sunset or a portrait and do its best effort.
I mean, one of the best cameras I've seen on a phone, natural fact, has been Huawei. And I went to, well, we were both there at that launch. I mean, the launch for the camera was perfect. But sadly, it comes down to the same thing. To me, it doesn't matter how good the camera is if I can't get the apps that I need to use. So that was some. But of course, now Honor is Huawei.
Used to be.
Yes. But surely they've got a lot of Huawei technology in there.
They definitely have. But that's one of the interesting things. I've interviewed some of their executives in the past couple of years since they launched and became their own thing, their own company. And it's interesting because they do have a lot of shared heritage, but they also have their own R&D team that does things differently. In fact, the last of the phones from the beginning of last year were still hard to tell apart because of, you know, very little differences. They used kind of the same design aesthetic and so on. But now they've gone their separate ways for some time, and their cameras have different enhancements, more enhancements and so on, that in some ways actually compete in a really good way with what Huawei is doing and what other manufacturers are doing. So it's nice that there is so much competition in this space, because a lot of these manufacturers will, let's call it, inspire each other. And, you know, all of this technology gets put in the next generation. One of the things that I was discussing, because of all the launches, Huawei made a couple of product launches and so on, and Mobile World Congress, and some of the stuff that's coming out now, for example, in mid-range phones or in mid-range headsets and things like that, is what used to be high-end only a year or two ago. So the good thing is, if you look at a phone right now from a lot of the manufacturers and you say, well, it's a little bit beyond my budget right now, just wait 18 months, you might get it for about 40% less on the next generation of the mid-range device that you're looking for. And that goes for laptops, that goes for tablets, and that goes for a lot of devices out there.
All right, we're going to take a break for a piece of music. We'll be back with Dr. Computer in just a moment. If you've got a computer question or a tech question, always drop us a little note. The number is 677-18822, 677-18822. If you've got a techie question, just drop us a line.
How can it be?
And there we go. Sun always shut. The sun always shines on TV, especially if you have an OLED.
Yeah.
Are you all right there, Alex?
Yeah, I'm just a little too much caffeine, I guess.
Oh, well, that's what it is. Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
I tell you what, just we get back to December, but some, of course something which is quite interesting has happened in the last week is with various governments banning TikTok.
Yeah.
On any of the government equipment. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever, because if you're working for the government and there's any suspicion that somebody could be using information, you just shut it out.
You know what my take is on that? I got interviewed by, I think it was Univision or Telemundo or something like that yesterday. I think that on a government phone or on a company phone, not only should there not be any TikTok, there shouldn't be any
third-party apps at all.
Anything no. at all. I mean, it could be Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Mm. There's no need for that.
Agree, 100%.
And you know, regardless of any kind of spying implications, which, again, we haven't seen any evidence of.
No.
So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But even if there were no spyware or anything like that, there is no reason why a phone should have, if it's a government phone or if it's a business phone, should have anything beyond the apps that it actually needs to work with. And a lot of companies right now are using software that has been used for decades now called mobile device management. In fact, the company that I work for, my day job, does have an entire business unit dedicated to device management, and one of the things that companies usually enforce is a list of approved applications that you can download, install, or you can have the phones actually be managed directly by the company. So if the company needs you to install something like Facebook or Twitter because you're the community manager, then they will install that. But maybe they'll also decide not to install the email client, because they don't want any kind of crosstalk between these applications happening. Yes, there is a certain limitation on what apps can do with each other and how their data is, you know, separated. But just to prevent any kind of security vulnerability, error in programming, error in usage for making any information that shouldn't be available to third parties available, then the best way to go is to have some sort of mobile device management. And it kind of strikes me that, you know, they're asking the users to remove this application or whatever. You know, any serious institution that has more than three or four people should have some sort of mobile device management system that would just not allow that, you know, application to be installed in the first place. And if it finds it for whatever reason, it should be able to take it out without having to ask the user. If the user wants to have it in their, you know, own personal phone, that's fine. But even then, I would try to educate those users and saying, you know what, try to keep everything in your phone separate, please, because you handle information that is sensitive. And, you know, don't have your personal phone with you when you're discussing, you know, business information or government information or anything like that. Because, again, even if the probability is really low, it's non-zero. So just be careful about that.
Oh, absolutely. But they have passed a law, apparently, which does give President Biden, if he so desires, the ability to ban it, punto.
Yeah. Now, that being said, remember,
100 million people use it in the States.
I would not be surprised. Now, that being said, people can, A, always use VPNs. B, they can use it on their computer, on the web, and so on. So that cat's way outside the bag right now. I mean, they can always do that, and it's got some economic impact. But the thing is,
isn't this a two-way stretch? Because people in China can use Facebook, can't they? People in China can use Google.
No, they can't.
They can't use Google?
No. Or Facebook or anything like that. They can only do that if they use a VPN, but even VPN access is quite restricted in China. I had the pleasure and the privilege of visiting China for a week a couple of years ago before everything happened. And it was a little bit difficult to use, you know, U.S.-based applications while there. It mm-hmm. wasn't impossible, but it wasn't easy. And I would recommend that people who are going to travel to China take that into account, you know, if they have, like, a Google email address or, mm-hmm. or things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Speaking of taking care, I'd like to just say one thing before we go. There's been something in the news about something called Prelex, which is a malware that's been going around, especially in Brazil. And one of the things that it's reported is that it's attacking point-of-sale terminals where people make their transactions. One thing that has been omitted, though, is that the way that this Prelex malware works is that when it senses that the cashier is going to make a contactless transaction, the one with the chip that you just put it near, it blocks it so that the cashier has to pass the card physically. When you pass the card physically, there's more information being exchanged between the cashier and the bank and the terminal and everything else. So malware agents or you know, whoever's doing the stealing can actually get more information out of that and maybe use that information to use your card somewhere else. But if you use a contactless one, the contactless one will generate a token, a one-time use token, that cannot be reused later. So they can't use that transaction. So if you go anywhere, like where there's a store or whatever, and your contactless transaction doesn't go through, maybe, you know, think of going somewhere else or pay with cash. I'm not telling you to pay with cash everywhere. That's not, you know, how this works. But some people have gone as far as saying, I'm not going to use credit cards anymore. You don't have to go that far. You just have to make sure that if your transaction, your contactless transaction doesn't go through.
The thing is, we've always used either the swipe or push in credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
So why has it now become a big issue?
Because when you use the swipe or push in credit card method, there's more information being
exchanged. How are they getting the information?
From the cash register that hooks up to that thing, that has to be some sort of exchange of information. And from that exchange, it hijacks that cash register, which is running Windows or some other operating system.
This must have been going on for years anyway.
For a couple of years. And it's been going on in Brazil. And the way they've fought against that is by switching over to contactless, because then they just generate this one-time token. The problem is not everybody has a contactless card. Most people do nowadays.
But I have a problem with that as well, because somebody steals my wallet and they've got my contactless card. Because I actually praised one of the checkout girls the other day, I think it was in 99, and I gave, you know, went to go, and then she said, can I see your ID?
Which is great.
Which is except because, look, if I lose my wallet and somebody has my card, nobody checks.
Right, but did she check the receipt?
Receipt of what?
Of the transaction. And let me tell you why. You get a card, you put in all the information that says, you know, let's say my card. My card, you steal my card, and you get another card made, but it says Jerry. And you show your ID that says Jerry, and the card says Jerry, but the information in the card is Alex's. If she doesn't look at the receipt that says Alex and not Jerry, she's not going to realize the card is stolen. So the best way to prevent that is to use contactless, or
but that's what I'm saying. This is contactless.
I know, but or use the chip and PIN system that they use in the UK and Europe and everywhere else, where you do have a credit card. Mm-hmm. It does work at every time, but you need the PIN.
Okay, and just coming back quickly on that, because I was impressed. I've got my car in the workshop. Mm-hmm. You know, it's its weekly visit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got to get some, Mr. Sabon, thank you. I got to get new rear shock absorbers. I wonder why.
Mm.
Mm. So anyway, I went online yesterday, and there's a company up in the States which has been recommended to me for Rock Auto, but I hadn't used them before.
Mm-hmm.
And the website's a little bit sort of like old age type things, you know, not the simple thing, but
it dancing worked. Baby GIFs and things
not,
like
not
that.
Not that bad. But anyway, I found what I wanted, my shock absorbers, the mounts, all of them. And I said, okay, and let's, fingers crossed, let's go. And I put in my American Express card, which normally just goes straight through. And they were clear, said, if you're using American, we tell you now that we instruct them to issue a a number to validate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, went ahead and put in the information.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a message mm-hmm. from American Express.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have been doing transaction with this company and a verification number has been requested and this is what it is, please. Mm-hmm. And I put that in and the transaction went through.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't come across that before. And I was impressed because I didn't really know who I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But they, and even to open an account,
mm-hmm.
you had to go through two or three different things before they even let you open an account.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
It is. Some people will find that annoying, but I'd rather have the bank spend a couple of $100,000 implementing a system such as this to save them on millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
worth of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a trade-off that we need to take care of.
No, it gave me more confidence in using them. And, unlike our friends, if I've got shock absorbers because they have gas in them. Or
I'm guessing that you probably hit a rough patch of street between the holes.
It could be that.
Yeah.
Either that or the car was confused because there wasn't a hole. But the other good thing about these people, I mean, it cost me. It's not cheap, but it's coming by DHL.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be here on Monday.
Awesome.
In my apartment. And if I had sent this through my friends at MBE...
Mm-hmm.
That goes on a ship,
mm.
like little pieces of tech with batteries in.
Yes,
right. Let's not go any further.
That's the other kind of MBE that nobody talks about.
You know, I mean, shoot me if you buy a cell phone, it'll go by ship. Anyway, Alex, as always, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us
to be here.
on the breakfast show, and with a bit of luck, we'll see you next week.
Hopefully so. And I'll be 50 by then.
You'll be 50?
Yeah. I'm turning 50 on
Monday.
Oh,
well, I hope you lose weight.
I hope so, too.
Alex, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And what day is the birthday?
It's on Monday, March
6th. On Monday?
6th.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just like Michelangelo Buonarroti.
Right. They make good ice creams.
Oh, yeah.
Well, best, Alex. Dr. Computer Alex Newman with us here on this morning's breakfast show. Always great when we can get him. And we're going to take our little break. If you missed the news at 8, I got it for you in a few minutes.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Yes, it's back. The biggest little festival in the world. The Bocchetti Jazz and Blues Festival is going to be on March the 17th to the 19th, so make a point of not missing it. A great artist, what a lineup this year. Mr. Sip, Alberto Castiglia, and J.P. Sauls, Lance Anderson, Genius and Soul, just to mention a few. So put that in your diary, all right? Bocchetti Jazz and Blues Festival, March the 17th to the 19th. The biggest little festival in the world is back. For more information on the lineup and how to get tickets, go along to the Bocchetti Jazz and Blues Festival.com. All the information you could ever need is right there.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
the best place to be in the mornings.
Turn around, we started off with ABBA and Put On Your White Sombrero. And I like the sound of Midlake, and that's an American. In fact, they were formed in Texas back in 1999. And a great sort of American folk band. I do like their sound. I also like the sound of Chris Rea. This is Chris Rea. And it's a girl's name. Yeah, two when we first started this morning as well, I don't know if you noticed. Julia is what it's called.
Make it feel so strange. soul of the devil may care. I'd love to know what goes on in there. She needs your love, she needs it every day. Speak of love, see her laugh and run away. Julia, which way will you go? Julia, I wanna know. Julia, only the morning stars. Julia, know just where you are.
That's it, Julia, from Chris Rea. Right, it is time to go in now. We've been chatting with Alex, and see if Yasmin's around anywhere. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
And how are you today?
Oh, very good. Happy Thursday.
And how was yesterday?
Ah, it was very busy. Let me tell you a little bit, because we went to San Miguelito.
Oh, okay.
And there was an event. Thanks to Terpel.
Oh, right, yes, just the gas station people.
They launched their foundation, Terpel Panama, because they already have them in different countries, like Colombia. And right now, they open a new room, a new classroom, at Escuela República de Colombia, which is located in San Miguelito. That's why we went there. And it was amazing. I loved it, that room. It's better than the one that I had in my private school.
I mean, what's in there? What's so attractive?
Well, first of all, I think it's important. It's very motivating for the kids and the professors, the decoration of the area, you know.
Right, right.
And it was very colorful, like with Legos in the walls. All full of Legos, and they had a huge world map in one of the walls, colorful, and also they had special seats, like to, like if you care, you are sitting in the floor, but comfortable, with colors, a lot of colors. It was very comfortable being there. And of course, also they brought all this equipment. They got virtual reality.
Okay.
And the it's not the blackboard anymore, it's a digital screen where they project everything on the wall. And of course they have to train the professors to teach this all this technology, you know, to the kids. Because also it's new for the professors.
Right, right.
So it's a very, very big project that they have.
How old are the kids yet?
This is for the little ones.
Okay.
And they also have, they have on different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But they already have this classroom, the same one, in a school that is close to Colombia. It's in the border.
Right.
Panama and Colombia. They started there, and we talked with one of the professors that is on that school.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's very happy with this project that Terpel made.
That's excellent.
Yes.
I mean, with the young ones, and if you remember, we went to King's College, and they had bathrooms for little children.
Oh, yeah?
And it's like something out of one of these movies where you had little munchkins.
Uh-huh.
You know? The wash basin was about sort of 2 foot off the floor, and you know, it was really quite amusing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You felt like you'd gone to sort of Alice in Wonderland, and you've come out like a giant.
Yes. That's funny.
Okay. Oh, so that's great. So it's a new foundation then. And the objective of the foundation is what exactly?
Well, let me tell you a little bit. They are going to build more classrooms like this. It's an interactive classroom. And let me see, they're trying to do these projects in different communities like Panama Oeste, Colón, Chiriquí, and Gunayala. And they seek to close digital gaps.
That's great.
In access to knowledge. And is currently operating in Puerto Ovaldía. That's the one that is close to the border.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah.
And it's benefiting more than 1,000 students.
Excellent.
The name of the project is Diseña el Cambio, and is one of the most relevant educational social innovation initiatives. And also they have another project called Aventura de Letras, and benefiting more than 480 students.
Oh, okay.
This is in Panama Oeste. And let me see what else. Well, yeah, that's basically what they are doing.
And that's it's amazing. Great. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they take you, you went by coach, did you? To the school?
Yeah, we took a bus
here
at their office of Terpel in Avenida Balboa.
Oh, okay, that's where they are.
Yeah,
okay.
We took the bus there and then we went to San Miguelito.
Oh, wonderful. How many of you went?
For the media, we were 7 people.
Okay.
And there were more other foundations because they wanted to show
the
other
foundations. Okay.
Yes, and also people from the government were there. It was full. It was crowded. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you've chosen a couple of pieces of music today. Where do you want to start?
Okay, let's start with Karen Carpenter.
Yes. One of my favorites.
She was born in 1950. American singer and drummer who, with the Carpenters, had the 1973 UK number 2 single Yesterday Once More, plus 3 US number 1s, including the 1975 US number 1 single Please Mr. Postman, their 1974 UK and US number 1 album The Singles, 1969 to 1973, spent 125 weeks on the UK chart. Which one are you going to play?
I'm going to play one that you haven't mentioned.
Oh.
Because they were one of my big... they were great. I mean, they were so relevant in the sort of the early 70s.
Okay.
And it was such a sad story, of course, because she had an eating disorder.
Oh, yes.
And she died so young. But her voice, luckily, is still with us because she had an amazing voice.
Exactly.
And the one I've chosen is a track. It's called For All We Know.
Okay.
From the, do you know this one?
Yeah, maybe. I guess so.
I guess so. Okay.
Okay. love. Look at the two of us, strangers in many ways. We've got a lifetime to share, so much to say, and as we go from day to day, I'll feel close to me.
That song, it wasn't originally for the Carpenters. It came from a 1970 movie called Lovers and Other Strangers, with music by Fred Carlin and lyrics by Rob Wilson. And Arthur James, also a pseudonym Jimmy Griffin. Both Roy and Griffin were founding members of the soft rock group. Another big favourite of mine, they've made some beautiful ballads, Bread. You know Bread?
No.
Oh. Because you're loafing around too long. No, they were brilliant. I'll play something of them in a minute. And the song was originally performed by Larry Meredith for the film soundtrack. But the best-known version of the song is the one we just played by the Carpenters. It reached number 3 on the US Billboard Hot 100 chart and got to number 1 on the Easy Listening chart in 1971. Because I was in Singapore at the time, and I played that forever and ever. And also it was covered by another favourite artist of mine, Shirley Bassey, as well. So there we go.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right, let me see that. So what are you doing today? I know what we're doing tonight.
Well, today, remember, is the first day of our ocean.
Oh, that's right.
It already started this morning at 8. So I'm going there and listen to one of the conferences, and then going to the event that we have. The afternoon.
Yes. That's a little bit different, isn't it?
Yes.
It's Italian beer, I think, isn't it?
I don't remember.
But I think so. I think it's Italian. Anyway, is that Rano Dorada?
Exactly. But we're going to relax.
We're going to relax. So. And drink.
And enjoy.
Enjoy. And use Uber.
Yes.
Now, what's your other piece of music?
The second one is Bon Jovi. He was born in 1962. American singer, songwriter, who had the 1990 solo UK number 13 single Blaze of Glory. And with Bon Jovi, the 1987 US number 1 and UK number 4 single Living on a Prayer, their 1986 US and UK number 1 album Slippery When Wet spent 8 weeks at number 1 on the US Billboard 200 chart.
What am I going to play?
I don't know.
Living on a Prayer.
Great.
We'll be right back.
Whoa, whoa.
And that's it. Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. You remember that one, don't you?
Of course. It's a jolly song.
It is a jolly song. We do lots of jolly songs. And, I'll see you later. I've unplugged my microphone, headphone. I'll see you later.
Yes, of course.
And we'll tell everybody how our evening went.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's Friday, yes.
Oh, yes.
Friday. Next Tuesday, it's only 8 weeks before I go on holiday.
Oh, yes. Wow.
It's going quick, isn't it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
All right, look, see you later on.
Yeah.
When we go and share a beer.
See you later.
All right.
Sure.
Okay. And Mary Lou, by the way, she came in because she loves the Carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked to also play a song by Brett for her. And it's The Guitar Man.
Good.
Now you're going to find out all about bread. All right, see you later.
Bye, see you.
Who draws the crowd and plays so loud? Baby, it's the guitar man. Who's gonna steal the show? You know, baby, it's the guitar man. He can make you love, he can make you cry. He will bring you down and he'll get you high. Something keeps him going miles and miles a day to find another place. The guitar man. Who's on the radio? You go listen to the guitar man. Then he comes to town and you see his face. And you think you might like to take his place. Something keeps him drifting. Searching for the songs to play. Then you listen to the music and you like to sing along. You want to get the meaning out of each and every song. Then you find yourself a message and some words to call your own and take them home. He can make you love, he can get you high. He will bring you down and he'll make you cry. Something keeps him moving, but no one seems to know what it is that makes him go. Then the lights begin to flicker and the sound is getting dim. The voice begins to falter and the crowds are getting thin. But he never seems to notice he's just got to find another place to play.
There we go. That's Mary Lou's choice, Bread, and the Guitar Man. Now, I'm sort of going back because this is, say, around about the time of the Carpenters, etc., etc., and is a time, and I've mentioned on the program before, 70, 71, around about that time, there were some absolutely brilliant ballads that came out. And in 1970, is another song by Bread. It was written by David Gates and originally recorded by them. And Gates and drummer Mike Boltz are the only members of the group to appear on the recording, by the way, which was a number one hit, and it's one of my favourites. 1970 it was released, and it's called Make It With You. there we go, yes, with another great ballad from the time. Comes from the Delphonics, and Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time? It was co-written by Tom Bell, together with William Hart, lead singer of the American R&B and soul vocal group, the Delphonics. It was released at the end of 1969, in actual fact, released in December of 69 on the Philly Groove record label. Regarded as a classic, winning a Grammy Award for Best R&B and Soul Performance by a duo or a group. Well, I tell you what, we're going to end up with this. Another great ballad from the time. Dionne Warwick. I'll Never Fall in Love Again. Of Dionne Warwick there, and I'll Never Fall in Love Again. And of course, we just lost the one of the composers of the song, Burt Bacharach, last year, and together with lyricist Hal David. And that was written for the 1968 musical Promises, Promises. And several recordings of the song were released in 69. Of course, the most popular version was Dionne Warwick. It got to number 6 on Billboard Magazine's Hot 100. And that's it. That's brought us to the end of this morning's breakfast show. And big thanks this morning to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, who was able to pop in and spend some time with us this morning. Also to Ingrid for our outdoor report, Everyday Story of Country Folk today. And to Yasmin here in the Breakfast Show studio, doing all our production and social media and work. Me, play music. It's stressful, you know. And big thanks to my co-producer, Neil Danby, for a lot of the background information we use here on the program. And as always, the Boys and Girls Group of Grado keep us up and running. And to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. Tomorrow, what is it? It's TGIF. Yes, it's that time of the week again. So we'll be with you 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Just please remember, whatever it is you're going to be doing between now and then, do it carefully, please. All right? Why? You know why. You know why by now. I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-ta. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D. Produced by Yasmin Karas. Co-producer, Neil Danby.